So in Heilige Parsha Mishpatim, the Hoinayim discusses the words of the Targum. The words of the Targum, the beginning of the Parsha, are Veila Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneiam, and these are the laws, the judgments that you shall place before them. The Targum is the Ilan Dinaya Di Desadre Kadmehom, and these are the Dinim. And Dinim ordinarily refers to harsh edicts and decrees. And what he wants to explain is that it says in the Sefer Yetzirah that the whole Torah is through Theisius. This is Morinayim every week. Every week the Morinayim gives us the same concept. The whole Torah is through Theisius, different ways of organizing the letters of the Torah, and that's how God creates and recreates the world. But the truth is that a Yid who learns Torah Lishma, Kavon Bepeh, the Sefer Yetzirah says that Hashem was Keveya, Hashem set into a mold, Hashem set into a permanent place, the way a Yid who learns Torah Lishma pronounces the words and the letters and is kaveya them, he gives them a shape. His pronunciation, his pronouncement, his understanding, his learning of Torah has a universal effect on the entire Bria. And it depends which way you want to go. A tzaddik, inadvertently, right now, I hope we're tzaddikim, I think we are, at least certainly at this moment we are, learning L'Shem Shemayim, it's late at night, we'd rather be asleep maybe, and we're here learning Torah Hashem. But the mere fact that I am saying these words of Torah, even in English, but I'm explaining Torah concepts to you, and you're listening, so all of us together are organizing the letters of the Torah, the letters of Eilam Mishpatim, etc., in a good way, which is bringing brachot not just to ourselves, but brachot to Gans Klal Yisroel. However, a Rasha, a wicked person, can undo all that. And actually, he doesn't say this, but L'chayr, that's a very good reason to be makarev people. Because you figure that we Torah observant Jews, I'm not sure if we're 10% of the whole Jewish population of the world, real Torah observant Jews, real Shomer Shabbos, so you figure that in the ganze Welt, maybe what, 1 million? Shomer Shabbos Yidden, 2 million? But yet you have millions upon millions of Yidden Nebuch who are not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. So it comes out that anything good we're doing, they're undoing. So for our own sake, we should be makar of these people. Forget about them. Of course we should do it for their sake and for God's sake. But just a practical thing. Everything we're doing gets undone. Because we're putting together the letters of the Torah in a positive, blessed way, and they, by ignoring the Torah, every time they ignore the letters of the Torah and the teachings of the Torah, they are undoing what we're doing. And he says, the mahapich, everything to Ra. We tie with the Ra, chas v'shalom. So, that's an important point to remember. So he says, that's the meaning of Eilam Mishpatim Atzatasim Lefnayim. Tell the Yidden that the Mishpat, the ultimate sentence, the ultimate decree as to how the Jewish world will look, is Lifnayim, it depends on you. That's the Targum, Ilan Dinaya Di Tesadik Adneon. You should know, you Jews, that the organization of the letters and the ultimate determination of what will be for the Jewish people, blessed or otherwise, is all depends on you. So we have an awesome responsibility, not just to ourselves, but the whole generation. That's the essence of the message. Very powerful message. Okay. And now?
We're thinking about here, Russia is intentionally doing this.
Russia is ignoring the Torah. He doesn't go into that. Whatever. As long as we have Jewish people who are ignoring the letters of the Torah, it definitely has a negative effect on what the positive people are doing. Now, Derech Agav, I will just take a brief interlude in our Chassidish year, and we'll talk about another kind of Chassid, because we have to. Because tonight is the yard side of one of the biggest Chassidim ever. His name was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, a Litvish Chassid. I think it was the Sasema said, the Rebbe Einstein has Rachmanis on the Litvaks. They have no Rebbe, so gave at least one Rebbe, gave Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who died in 1883. So we're talking today, over 120 years after his Nifter, 126 to be precise. I remember in 1983, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was in Miami Beach. I had the schuss to learn with him the Chavrusa in those days. And the Bnei Torah organized a special kinus in memory of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's 100th yard site. And we asked Rabbi Yaakov to speak. You realize, of course, Rabbi Yaakov was born 7 years after Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was Nifter. He was born in 1890. So, like, you know, you see sort of a continuation. And Rabbi Yaakov certainly knew many Yidden who had seen Rabbi Yisrael in his lifetime. He was in Kovna, in Slobodka, and Rabbi Yisrael was a chassid. A chassid is a person who's mischassid with the Rabbi Yisrael. His whole life is dedicated to the Rabbi Yisrael. What can be said? What more can you say about Yisrael Salanter? Yisrael Salanter, I think one of the most beautiful statements of Yisrael Salanter was the story about Rebitzel Petterberger. So he had a Talmud, Rebitzel Petterberger, who was the Goyin HaGoyinim, or a sefer called Pri Yitzchak. He was the Rav of St. Petersburg, which was the capital of Tsarist Russia. And people asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, why doesn't he encourage his students, his disciple, Yitzchak Petterberger, to learn more Gemara and Poiskim, and stop learning so much Musar? If he spent more time on Lamdas, he'd be a Gadol Mamish, the biggest Gadol. He was a big Gadol, but he'd be even bigger. I mean, he was a contemporary, shall we say, of the Beis Halevi, or Chaim Brisker, the Netziv, and he's not quite as famous as them. Little less, great person. So actually, people came to Rabbi Yisrael and said, "Tell your Talmud to learn less Musar and more Gemara, and Lamdas and Paiskim. He'll be big rabbi." So Rabbi Yisrael said the same as Vort. You know the Vort. In Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Bitzia Sapas, the laws of making a mitzi, the halach is you have to make a mitzi on a chosh of a piece of bread. The most chosh of a piece of bread is a full loaf, a full challah, a full bulkele, something sholeng. However, there's another consideration. You should try and make, if you have two slices of bread, you should always try and make the motzi on the bigger slice, gadol, big. So size is very important. You want to give the bracha chashivas, you make it on a big piece of bread. On the other hand, you also want to make it on a full loaf of bread. So the Shulchan Aruch addresses the problem. What if you have a big slice of bread and a small roll? So the roll is a shlema, but it's a ketan, it's klein, it's small. And the slice is not sholem, it's only a slice of a loaf, but it's big, big rubbish slice of bread. So what do you make the motzi on? On the shlema or on the gedola? So the Shulchan Aruch says you make it on the shlema. Because shlema, perfection, completeness, is more choshev than godless, than being big. So said Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, this awesome word, it's so poshut, that if my Talmud will not learn Musar and learn a lot of Gemara and Paiskim and all the Lamdas, he might become very big. He'll have godless, but he won't have shlemus. Better to be a small shalem, learn a lot of Musar, and less Gemara and other things, if that's the time you need to make yourself into a perfect person. You're only as good as your weakest flaw. What's the tachlis of being a big Lamdan? If you have bad midas, you have one bad midah, you're not a shaleng, you're not a complete person. You have a big blemish, a big mum. So he said, therefore, I tell him, learn more Moser. Iker shlemus, not godless. That's an awesome word. Iker shlemus, to be perfect, not to be big. If you're big, matayv manoya. That's why it's this. So we shouldn't talk about gedolim cards. My grandson collects the gedolim cards. So he has birthday that day. What do you want? I want to buy some more Gdolin cards. He has a whole album. He has like 200. There's a new set. He has like 150, he's missing 50, he has to need some money to buy some more Gedolim cards. I think we should call them Shleimim cards. Shleimim cards is to change the whole format and have Shleimim cards, not Gedolim. Serious. At any rate, that's Rasul Salanta, Rasul Reb Zev. Reb Zev, his father was a Rav in Tells for a while, actually. His Chedushim are printed in the back of every Gemara. Chedushim of Rasul Salanta's father. He was a Rav of Abad Tells the Goldingen. So he's a Shtickle Tells every Rasul. So we feel some closeness to him. Yeah, it's a print in the back of the Gemara. We have in the back of my Sot over here. Let's see if we... Yeah. Meis Hagos ben Aryeh, Meis Hagon Zev ben Aryeh, Abad Goldingen Vitels. That was Rasul's father. Anyway, so, yeah. Also, today's the Yard Sav Reb Motel Pogromansky, who died in 1950. He was a big guy, and he was among the Rebbeim of my Rebbe, Reb Gifter. I'll speak about him maybe later. Also, a Chosid, the Yerei Shemayim. He was a bigger Chosid. Yerei Shemayim is Yerasa Kadamis the Chachmasai. It was Yerasa Kedemis the Chachmasai by far, although he's the Iluyatzim who could learn 50 Blat Gemara a day. Easy, without problem. As a matter of fact, how did it work with him? A whole cheshbon how 50 Blat Gemara a day was no problem. At any rate, Zoyar, Kabbalah, everything Kisvi, Arizal, knew everything, Kol Tarkuli. Died very young, Nebuch, 47. Klais was in Zecha. Okay, that was a brief interlude. Now, you know, it always comes out. My point is just the reason I'm mentioning it. I'm not, first of all, it's supposed to mention these Heilige Chassidim. But it always comes out that the Yartzer of Rasul Salanta coincides with Parsha Mishpatim. Always. So, tonight already is a Yom Heilige Parsha Mishpatim. Because Rasul Salanta emphasized Ben Adam Chaveiro. And that's most of Mishpatim is Mitzvahs Ben Adam Chaveiro. So, the Baruch Hashem made it that his yard site, Chof Hei Shvat, always corresponds with Mishpatim. Okay, now, let us look in the Heilige Kedushas Levi. Now, the Kedushas Levi, we have a little leftover work yet from last week's Parsha Yisro. But it's okay, because it's about the Aseres HaDibros, and Matan Torah appears in Parsha Mishpatim as well. We'll discuss it more in Shabbos. There's two versions of Matan Torah. In this last week and this week, Aber Shteit in Yisro and Luchos Rishonos, Zocher as Yom Shabbos the Katshay. Now we know that in Veschan it says Shomer as Yom Shabbos the Katshay, and Chazal say Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Zayin that Shomer veZocher b'Divrei Echad. Right, as we know, Shomer veZocher b'Divrei Echad. They were said in one breath in one word. So he says, you know why it had to be like that? I'll explain it to you. He says a lot of tiffa things here. I can't even explain them, but I understand. I'm zaycha to think I understand is as follows. He says there's a big yisayit in Kabbalah and the Chassidus, so you picked a good night. That the state in the Kisvi Arizal in Eitz Chaim Sharak Akudim, that when the Rabbi Shem created the world, he created the world in two dimensions, in two bechinas. There's the Or Hayoshar and the Or Achayzer. There's direct light, and there's chayzer light, there's return light. So there's light that goes straight forward, and light that goes backwards, you might say. Forward light and backward light. What does that mean? Like in your car, front lights and back, rear end lights? No, that doesn't mean chayzer lights. Or chayzer does not mean rear end brake lights. It means light that goes back. There's light, not literally, there's light that goes forward, and light that goes backwards. What's the pshat? It really makes a lot of sense. He says, the Or of Hashem is Ein Sof. The Or of God is forever. There's no end. It's infinite, right? It's endless, unlimited. Now, of course, the whole Yisrael of the Bria is that the Rabbi Shalom was Mitzamtzim, the light. Hashem constricted the light, narrowed the light, and put it into this world. And anything that's in the Bria is definitely smaller, the kli, the receptacle, this bria, is smaller than the amount of light there is. So, I have my Vitarose seltzer bottle, it's not so big, but I'm pouring it into this plastic cup. This plastic cup looks like it's about 8 ounces. The little thing, the Vitarose here is 24 ounces. So obviously, I'm pouring the seltzer into the cup, but there's going to be leftovers, because the cup is not as big as the bottle of seltzer. So too, there's nothing in the world that's as big as the light of Hashem. So therefore, when the Rebbe should know, so here's the chap. The chap is that when the Rebbe Hashem created the world, you would think that the Rebbe Hashem only measured out as much light to the veld that the world could hold and receive. And the rest of the light, which is endless, has no shachas does. No. Ah, you learned something here tonight. I learned myself. Something new. This Kedush Levi is the Baltic. I love this Kedush Levi. He says, no, Hashem is not cheap. The Rebbe is not cheap on us. The Rebbe Hashem really poured out the ganze light, so to speak, everything, into the veld. But the veld didn't hold it. So the amount of light that the world could hold, that's called the Arayosha. That's the forward light that goes straight into this world, and it permeates every place there's room for it. The rest of the light went back to the Rebbe Hashem. It's chayzer, it goes back to the Rebbe Hashem. But it's available. In other words, if it wouldn't be chayzer, or chayzer means the light that went back. This is the shirayim, he says. This is the extra light. The extra light. Who's that light for? He says, awesome vart. Who's that light for? He says, this or a chayzer is beyond human conception. Even the chayas and the shrafim and the ifanim have no asaga. The only person of the shaykhas to this is Gemara Rishon Daf Yud Zayin. Gemara says in the Rishon Daf Yud Zayin is the pasuk l'she'eris nachlosai. It's the pasuk in Micha that the Rebbe Hashem has a special bracha l'she'eris nachlosai to the remnants of his estate. What does it mean? Says the Gemara l'oisam she. Hashem has a special bracha for those who make themselves like shirayim. Now I understand what shirayim is all about. What does that mean? He said, I learned if my Rebbe, Hamanoyach Eloki, Moivri Rebbe, Reiner Abdoiv Ber, Mi Mizrich. The grace of Maggot's Mizrich. He says, Echagalan, by the grace of Maggot of Mizrich, the following Yisoit. That these are the tzaddikim who make themselves like nothing. They make themselves like shirayim. What's a shirayim? What's a shirayim? Shirayim means you eat lunch today, you eat everything in the plate. You answer a little bit. You weren't so hungry. A few crumbs, epis, something over. You should. Because the rive is tainus. The rive is tainus is that if you eat a good meal and leave over just one kazayas and you're still hungry for it, so this is like you fasted the whole meal. Because you stopped your taiva, because you're into it, and you enjoyed it already, and you're about to dig into the last kazayas, you hold yourself back. So that itself is like a big tainus. It's a great self-discipline, a great self-abstinence. So, shirayim means what you left over, and punishment, but what you leave over usually is it's not worth anything to you. It's not important, right? It's not necessary. I'm tired. I ate three sandwiches, so I left over a couple of crusts. Shanganuk, right? Shirayim is the insignificant crumb. The leftovers, which are not important. That's Pashat Shirayim. So, you know who the Rebbe Hashem has a special thing called Sheris Nachlaso. Who does Hashem give his leftovers to? The person who is so humble, he thinks I'm just a leftover. The average person walks around the world and says, I'm not a leftover. I'm a rightover. I'm the world made for me. Bishulina Ra'ilam. I'm fantastic. I'm not leftovers, boy. I'm it. I'm not junk. I'm not the side dish left over. Ich bin die Ike. I'm not a couple of french fries left over on the plate over here. A little ketchup, a shmir, a kaprit, and a couple of crumbs on the bread. I'm the Iker. I'm not the tuffel. I'm not shirayim. I'm it. That person, the balgaiva, zaga bench. But the person who makes himself like shirayim, the person who doesn't think very much of himself, again, is always a, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu. My friend Rabbi Zion Zelman told me, "Meredik Abshat Moshe Ben Zanivus." You can't do Rabbi Zion. So Rabbi Zion said, "Gavaldik Abshat Moshe Ben Zanivus." That Moshe Ben Zanivus, well, he didn't know he's talking to Rabbi Shalom. He didn't know he's a great man. He says, "No, I didn't think he's a great man." Moshe Ben thought that Rabbi Shalom chose him because he's such a grubby young, he's such a bulvan. The Rabbi Shalom needs someone to fight with him all the time for Klai Solzhagen. That's our lawyer. You know, a lawyer. What do you think a lawyer is? Lawyers don't get good, very good PR lately. Everyone thinks of lawyers as being, you know, very tough, not so 100% honest, maybe. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the point is, you think of a lawyer, someone who's very brazen-faced, very mechutzef, you know, he knows how to twist things around, he'll fight back. An advocate, you know, I don't want to even say in the basin, but they did a Toyin. The Toyin is a guy who's very shrewd, very clever, and he's not, hey, he fights no matter what, he doesn't give up. He's a like a street smart guy. He's a he can fight. So everybody's saying, you know what? Hashem chose me because I'm a grubby young. I was a shepherd all the years. I'm a cowboy. I'm sort of a Wild West rough rider. And the Rebbe knew that the average my brother Aaron is so edel. Aaron's an edel fellow. Aaron was never a shepherd. Aaron was never a cowboy. Aaron was never in Midian. Aaron was never in Africa like Moshe. Aaron's edel. But me, I'm a grubby young. So the reason why the Rebbe chose me, because he knows I can fight with him. And he wanted that. Don't to Tainzach for Klai Yisrael. I'm a lawyer. Yes, the pshat. He brings he brought a medrash that proves the point. You hear? So Sheris means I'm not the Iker. I'm just I'm the lowest. I'm the lowest. I might be doing something. I have an interesting job. But I'm the lowest. So the person who thinks he's just leftovers, you know what his reward is? He gets the leftover light. He gets the Ora Chozer. Isn't that awesome? The Ora Chozer is the pshat. When the Bajna made the world, he had the Ora Yosher. He had the straight light, which is the light that fits into the world. But the Bajna didn't karkzach. He also wanted to dump in more light, but the light didn't fit. So that light goes back to the Bajna. It's got to go someplace. But that light really Hashem designated for the human, for us, for the world. He wants to give it to us, but there's no place. So the person makes himself like he's nothing. So he's no place. The person makes himself, I'm nothing. If in no place, I'm just a leftover. I'm not the Iker. So Dafka, the more humble a person is, the more this light has a shaykhus to him. The leftover light. He thinks he's only a leftover. And because he thinks he's no place, the light that has no place to go goes to him. As I bring it from the Heilige Rebbe, his Rebbe, the Mizritcher Magid, the Greiser Magid. So he says, that the Sheishis and Eberashis, I'll just read the words before I get there. He says, the Shirayim, Shila Orsh and Espasha, the Teicher Lamais, the Lamais, the Yachl, the Saivla, the Chazir Lein Saif, the Bechinus of Shirayim, the Bechinus of Orachizer, and this Kalel. Shirayim is like the Orachizer. You hear, it's different, but I think it's understandable. So he says, that the light of the Sheishas may be Rashis. You understand there's a reason Shabbos and the Ganze Vach. It's a Hazav Vort. The Ganze Vach, Hashem created the world. It's Olam Abriya. And the whole week. The whole week can be Masik. The whole week is Dora Yosher. Dora Yosher. Actually, you know, the letters of Rashis can be transposed to read Yosher Toiv. Rashis is Yosher Toiv. Hashem desired the Yosher. So, he says the whole week, all you can get is the Ora Yosher. When Shabbos Kodesh, the licht of Shabbos is awesome. The light of Shabbos is much more than fits into Bereishis. So Dafkan Shabbos, you can Yisoyche to the Ora Chayzer. And that's the Kedusha of Shabbos, which is out of this world. And a person who prepares himself all weeks for Shabbos is Yisoyche to Azaman Kedusha, Azaman is Pashtus, a Kedusha. And that's the Pshat Zachar, Yom HaShabbos, the Kachay. He says, that's the Pshat, the Zachar and Shomer. Zohar, he says, is the Or HaYoshar. Zohar is remember Shabbos, that's, use a car, so to speak. Shomer means to guard. Even that light that ordinarily is wasted, so to speak, it goes back to the Rebbe Shalom, by virtue of a person being battling himself to Shabbos, and coming into Shabbos with his battles to the Rebbe Shalom, that I'm just Shirayim, then a person be Zohar, a person who's Shomer Shabbos, not Zohar. Zohar is a positive thing. Shomer is protect from a negative. So you can be Zohar to the Madrega of the Ora Chozer, which means that the light that, so to speak, was negative light never got to this world. A person by being Shomer Shabbos can be Zohar to a licht he cannot get throughout the week. Ad kam l'shayna. It's very tiferet. I can't understand it totally what you just said about Shabbos, but Azoi Shteit in the Heilige Kedushas Levi. That's number one. Number two. He says, something similar in the beginning of Mishpatim. Now you can appreciate what the Kedushas Levi says in the beginning of Mishpatim. It says in the Parsha, right in the beginning of the Parsha, the second Parsha of Kabbalah Zatayrah, here in the end of Mishpatim, Perek of David, state, Del Meishamar, Aleil Adonai, Atov Aaron, Nodav Aviyu, Vishivim Mizik Nisro, Vishtachavisem Me Rochok, and you'll bow down from a distance. What shall you bow down from a distance? What's Meintos Vishtachavisem Me Rochok? And Rashi Grad doesn't say anything about it. What does it mean, Vishtachavisem Me Rochok, you'll bow down from a distance? Zog, the Hele Kedushas Levi. The pshat is that by the Rabbanim Shalom, there's two bechinas. There's Karoiv and Rochik. And he says, the difference between Karoiv and Rochik is Azoi. Rochik is that we believe that there's an Or Ein Soif, there's an unlimited Lai of Hashem. Mamash, like we said over here in Yisroel, there's a Lai of Hashem that's beyond human comprehension. That's Rochik, it's very far from us. That's the Ein Soif, the unlimited light. Then there's a light that's Karov, that's the Or HaYashar. That's the light that comes into this world. That's right, it's here. You know what the light is? It's inside you, Yaakov Yosef. It's inside me. It's inside the Sefer. It's inside my little purse. It's inside my cup. The Or that has a Tzimtzum, the Or that has a Tzimtzum, the Or HaYashar is right here. It's all over the place. But that's called a Karov. It's right here. But the Rochik is the light that is so far from this world because it went back. It's too much. So he says that the chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu was that he understood that by being mishtachave, again, by making himself into nothing, by bowing down to the Rabbanim Shalom, by making himself like Shirayim, the more a person humbles himself, the more you make himself like nothing, then in nothing there's room for everything. If I'm something, there's no room in something as a certain measure. If I'm a something, Avram, so my dimensions are 6'3" by this wide, this thick, and I take up some space, and that's all the room there is for the light. But if I'm nothing, so I'm nothing, so there's room for everything and nothing, because there's nothing stopping everything going into nothing, because there's nothing here, there's nothing in the way. So therefore, v'shtachavisa mirochik, and he brings down that from the Arizal and Priyas Chaim, that when you say v'nachdu koyrim v'shtach v'maydim by Elena, which is very important, say Elena well, say Elena without kavanah, we say v'nachdu koyrim by bowing, as Arizal says, you have in Zinnin, that you want to be mamshach on yourself, the or from these oilemists that never got to this world. That's exactly the kavanah you have when you say v'nachdu koyrim v'shtach v'maydim. I have a kavanah that as I'm bowing, I am drawing to myself this light which is out of this world, which the world couldn't hold and couldn't accept, but when I bow down, I'm being mamshir that mirachoik. Same word. Shtravisem mirachoik. Gvaltik. Okay. I'll tell you two more quick things, and maybe we'll call it a night. And two more quick things from the Halakha Kedushas Levi. Again, it's very deep stuff. Whatever I tell you is mamash, the tip of the iceberg, just like when I tell you tomorrow night, it's the tip of the iceberg. The Kedush Levi is grace and yunam. It's a grace alam than Kedush Levi. A big yadin. But you see, the Kedush Levi is very different than the tomorrow night. It's a whole different mahalach. See, the tomorrow night again says the same exact thing every week. Come on. It's all through Isis and Didim the talk of Bisharashan. The Mahalach HaMachshava of the Morin Nayim is one thing, that the Isis or the Torah are the pipelines for the Shef and the light of the bunch coming into this world. He speaks about the Isis all the time. And he speaks about Tzadikim going to the lowest level to Moshech, lower people up to a higher level. It's the whole Morin Nayim is that one theme. The letters of the Torah are an escalator and an elevator. It goes up and down and up and down, and the Tzadikim go to the lowest level to bring up the low people back to their shayrish, and then the talking of shirosh. And this is the yisod of the whole sefer. Again, I mean, Hashem understands all that. That's a recurring theme. The Kedush Levi discusses all kinds of things. He's not limited. He's not repeat. It's more wide ranging and brings a new yisodus and kabbalah that But this Yisayid, and a person drinks of Ayin, isn't indeed like a big Yisayid in Tislevi. I've seen it in many different parshas. The idea of May Ayin, Yava Ezri. My Ezri comes, May Ayin. I make myself like nothing. I'll just tell you two more quick things over here. And that is as follows. That you should know, there's no Geya. We're holding by the Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh benching for Chodesh Ador. Zok there, that the Yud Bei Shvatim, excluding Shevet Levi, Shevet Levi is the 13th Shevet. Right? Without Levi, you have Ruvain, Shimon, forget Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun is 5, Gad, Vasher is 7, Dan, Naphtali is 9, Binyamin is 10, and Ephraim Menashe is 12. Levi is the 13th. So he says the Yud Bei Shvatim are connected Yud Bei Sha'arim. There are 12 Shvatim Keneged, 12 gateways to Shemayim, and they are Keneged, and Levi is the 13th. He says that's considered Rosh Chodesh benching. What do you say in Rosh Chodesh benching? Chayim Shel Toiva, Chayim Shel Bracha, he has Chayim Shel Sasain, maybe Sfarad has Sasain Vesimcha, I don't know how Sfarad goes, he has Sasain Vesimcha. We don't have Sasa, Ashkenaz doesn't have Sasa Vesimcha. Does Svar have it? No? He said, we have Chayim, actually we have something else entirely. We have Taiva Bracha. We have, yeah, you do, Taiva Bracha. Sasa Vesimcha, we don't have it, but you have it, okay. And then we have Yeshua V'Nechama, Parnas V'Chakala, Chayim V'Shalom, V'Chilas Chayit V'Slichas Avin. Actually, we have a lot of other stuff here, but okay. Anyway, he says, the Gzuz Levi, that the 12 things, that the positive things mentioned in Rish Chodesh benching are connected to the 12 Shari Shemayim, connected to the 12 Shvatim. Levi is the 13th, and that's like a difference higher than all the rest of them. Fine. He says, you should know, this is very interesting, that Goyim, their number is 11. Our number is 12 and 13. 12 is 12 Shvatim. Goyim is 11. Why? He says, because in the months of the year, the 12th month, Adar has a shachas to no less than Esav. Why? He says, because Esav is called Aderes Seor. State in the Torah that he came out, Kulo Admoni Aderes Seor. He came out like a cape of hair on himself. Esav at birth was covered with hair. Now hair is dinim and things of that sort. And he says that the month of Adar corresponds with Aderes of Esav. Here we thought Adar is so gavaltic, it corresponds to Esav. Psh, it's from the Zohar. And he goes weiter, and he says that in the Mishkan, you have the Ashtei Esrei Rios Izim. You have 11 ureas made out of coarse goat hair, and that corresponds to Esav, because he is the goat, he is the Az. Like it says in the Torah, like when they brought the Karbonas, they bring the Seir Izim. Seir Izim is connected to Esav, it was Seir and Izim. So the 11 ureas in the Mishkan correspond to Esav, and because he was the hair, the coarse hair, like an Az. And the Az is considered a seyir, coarse hair. And Az means chutzpah. Az means Az is upon them. Az means no busha. This is Esav. Esav is aggressive. Esav is a bulvan. Esav is a fighter. Esav is Edom. You die your day, Esav. So therefore, you have in the Mishkan, you have the 11 ureas. It has the work, the 11 ureas. They're sandwiched in the ureas. So that's next week's parasha. Well, I'll thought by them. What do you have? You have, first you have 10 ureas. The 10 ureas, the Shaitan Zoyer, the 10 ureas that are made out of beautiful sheish mosor, out of the white and the blue and the red and the chalas nargom is beautifully woven with the pictures of the lions and the eagles. That's on the bottom. That's Paisal. 10 is us, connected to Minyan. The Zohar says it refers to a minion. That 10 spheres, a minion. The 11 on top of that is Esav. He's on top of us. But we're protected from him by the 10, the minion. The Yidden come to Davin. In the Mishkan, not in the Shul. And on top of the Esav, we put another, we put the Oyres Elam Adamim, and we put the Tachash. And that's sort of like sandwiches Esav. The purpose of the Mishkan is to lock in Esav. They shouldn't make trouble for us. Now, that's where the number of 11 comes in over here. Because we know that the solar year refers to Esav. This is really a chap downstairs. The solar year refers to Esav. Right? The lunar year is us, because we're small. Esav is big, like the sun. He's red, like the sun. He's powerful, like the sun. Now, what is the discrepancy between the solar year and the lunar year? 11 days. Because the solar year is 365 days, and the lunar year is 354 and a quarter. We say Shana is 355, but really it's not correct. Because it's really 354 and a quarter. That's why every 4 years you have a leap year. You leave out one day to compensate for the fact that it's really quarter days over here, right? So, I mean, by the Goyim, at least, you know, they there's also a quarter over there. But Kitzer, it's 11 day discrepancy. Maybe it's 355 and 365 plus the quarter. The Chazal says 11 day discrepancy between the soul and the lunar. I'm not sure, I'm now at the moment, it's hitting me. Maybe it's not 354 and 365. It could be 355 and 365 and a quarter, which ultimately adds up to one day. But it's considered 11 days. So the 11 days, how do you compensate for 11 days? Every 3 years, it's not fully 3 years, it's 7 years and 19 years. And you know the simon from last time we learned, it's Guchat Zat. So every 7 years and 19 years, which is approximately once every 3 years, you have a leap year, make a second Adar. The second Adar is the idea, as he says, this is the Chav. Adar represents Esav. Esav is the solar year. Esav is Adar Eseyor. Esav is the here, Adares. Adar is the cape of here of Esav, which is Meruma, is in the 11 Yerios of Seir Ezim in the Mishkan. And the month of Adar is there for the month that we make Ibriyar, when we add an extra month to the Jewish year to compensate for the 11-day discrepancy, is Dafka Chodesh Adar, because that's the month that represents that ultimately we have to, Esav is 11 days, so to speak, longer than us. He's big enough by 11 days. But we're going to catch up with him, and we're going to destroy him. We'll become equal to him. So therefore, the month that is used to catch up to Esav, who is Adar, Adar Eseyar, the month that's used is the month of Adar. It's the last month, but it represents the idea of it's the month after the 11, because 11 is the month of is the number for Esav. It represents the 11-day advantage that the solar year has over the lunar year. It represents the fact that we catch up eventually. He says, after that month of Adar is the month we catch up for 11. Because it's the month after 11, and Esav is 11, the 11 Urea season. Sounds complicated, but you think about it, it's a lot of interesting, very interesting. What? 11 months is what? Yeah. See, after 11 months. You have Adar after 11 months. After 11 means to say that since the solar year is 11 days ahead, so after 11 days, after 11 months, the number 11, the idea is that after 11 months, you have a Chodesh Adar. That's the one that's used to catch up. Because after 11. And 11 is Esav's number. Our number is 12 and 13. 12 represents the 12 Shari Shemayim, represented by the 12 positive brachas we have in Birkas HaChodesh. And the 13th represents, on top of the 12 is Levi, which is number 13, which is Ava and Echad and all kinds of good things. And the last thing, Rabbi Isai, is my favorite, I think, maybe my all-time favorite, Kedushas Levi. Now that will conclude. So, Kedushas Levi, the end of Parash Mishpatim, this you can know by heart. It says, the end of Mishpatim, Umare kvoid adinoi, ke'esh oicheles b'rei shahor, leini b'nei Yisrael. And the vision of the glory of Hashem on our Sinai was like a consuming fire, ke'esh oicheles b'rei shahor, on the top of the mountain, Le'ini b'nei Yisrael, to the eyes of Gans Klai Yisrael. What's the pshat? Zag Duches Levi. If a person wants to know, I'm serving Hashem, is Hashem happy with me? Is Hashem tzefridim with my avodah? Gedalia, is Hashem happy with you? How are you going to know? Is there a thermometer for your temperature? And there's a blood pressure machine for your blood pressure. And Gedalia, if you want a great dentist, you go to Gedalia, Rappaport, and you get the best dentist around. He has all kinds of machines in his office, but he does not have this machine. The machine to measure avodas Hashem. If Hashem is happy, avodah. Ichab is our machine, because I'm a rabbi, not a dentist. Dentists have their machine, because ichab my machine. And the machine says, the Kedush Levi is, it's really available to all of us, at no charge. The machine is azoy. If a person, when he serves Hashem, when he learns, when he says the Dvar Torah, when he davens, when he does a mitzvah, he's filled with a fire of enthusiasm for Hashem. Didn't say it, didn't daven with his feet crossed, and his eyes are, he's wandering, daydreaming, and thinking about the next ski trip, or the next episode on the video machine here, or the next week he's going to blockbuster Chas V'Shalom. If a person, when he's davening, is davening with his la'avas, and like Rishon Lezion says, you learn Musi, you learn with Sfasayim Dolkos, with burning lips, with flaming lips, as they learn in Musa, in Chasidus, Bezok the Dvar Torah, Bedavent, Bezok the Bracha, Metuta Mitzvah, it's with fire. So, Umare Kvoid Hashem, if you want to know if Hashem has Derech Eretz for you, it's Ke'esh Oichel Es Bray Shahar. If you are consumed with the fire to serve Hashem, the Bray Shahar is the top thing in your life, it's the top most thing, more important than the ski trip, and the golfing trip, and the tennis trip, and the swimming pool, and your six meals a day on the Pesach tour. So if the most important thing is to bake your matzahs, not to eat the matzahs, what's more important, the baking first, then the eating, and you're thinking about Pesach already, you're the good Jews are thinking about Pesach already 2 months ago. So if that's what it is, Leini B'nei Yisrael, that's the proof, Leini B'nei Yisrael, to the eyes of Klai Yisrael, we are holding with the Baruch Hashem. Azoizok, the Heilig Kedush Levi. That is a vort. I heard a vort yesterday, you know, Moshe Green, when Moshe Green was by the last Sheva Brachas, by the Gitte Flam, at Chetzkel. So Moshe Green told me, a good vort, Rabbi said, the Gemara says that Reb Zeira, the Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin, in Ksuba says, Reb Zeira have a merakad at Tlas. Reb Zeira used to dance by a chasna or a Sheva Brachas. So Poshbjan the Gemara Rakhna that class means he would juggle three hadassim. But the Mashah brings the Abshat. And the Gemara is like this, listen. The Gemara says that when Rab Zeira died, so an omad of a fire, a pillar of fire came around his kever to show people Hashem was very happy with him. And it looked like hadass. Zoi lent Rashi. But the Marshal learns shot, the Rab Zeira Merakad Atlas means Rab Zeira was an old man. And nevertheless, when it came to Chasen, or it came to Sheva Brachas, he danced like three younger light. That's shot, Merakad Atlas. Rashi learns shot, Merakad Atlas, he juggled three Hadassim. He learns shot, he danced like three younger light. So the question now is, how did he get such a koyach? And what was the schus then that when he died there was a pillar of fire? According to Rashi, the pillar of fire looked like Hadassim. So that's the Midah Keneged Midah. But according to the Marsha, that he danced like three in a light, what does the fire have to do with it? The answer is that's good for the Pshat. Has an old man danced like three in a light? Because he has a fire inside of himself. Well, a Tansma is a fire. If you have fire inside of you, and you're dancing with the Slahavas, and a fire, Marek for the Shem Keisha Chelis, and then you can dance even your old man like three in a light. That's why my name is Fire. That's the Ikkar. The Ikkar is the fire. Remember, Hasina says it was fire all the time. This is extrapolated from the words of the Hedrus Lady.